This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, Fresh Air's TV critic, sitting in for Terry Gross. TV executive Grant Tinker died last week at age 90. Today, we'll listen back to Terry's 1994 interview with him, as well as a 1995 interview with Mary Tyler Moore, Grant Tinker's ex-wife, who starred in two famous and influential sitcoms with which Tinker was involved, The Dick Van Dyke Show and The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Grant Tinker was a major influence on and in television for the second half of the 20th century. He started out as an ad executive for Procter & Gamble, where he helped shape The Dick Van Dyke Show and met his future wife, that show's co-star, Mary Tyler Moore. Early in his career, he also was a low-level NBC executive for a while. But in 1970, he broke from the pack and founded MTM Enterprises, an independent TV company named after Mary Tyler Moore and showcasing her with its first television production, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Then, Tinker took over a broadcast network, running NBC in the 1980s and bringing it from last place to first. In the case of Grant Tinker, and why he's widely considered the best and most influential network executive in TV history, it wasn't so much what he did as how he did it. Over the years, I've interviewed dozens of people who worked with and for Grant Tinker, and each and every one of them said that the most amazing and important thing about him was that he identified the people he thought were the most creative, then encouraged them to do what they wanted while protecting them from network interference. As a result, Tinker's string of hits and creative TV triumphs, either as a production executive or network chairman, included not only The Mary Tyler Moore Show, but Hill Street Blues, St. Elsewhere, Cheers, The Cosby Show, and others. Many of those shows weren't just critical and popular successes. They were groundbreakers and envelope pushers. The Dick Van Dyke Show had been the smartest TV sitcom of the 60s and became the model for The Mary Tyler Moore Show, premiering on CBS in 1970. In that series, Mary Tyler Moore ended up playing Mary Richards, a single working woman, at a time when that was a quietly but clearly feminist premise for a TV sitcom. Even in the pilot episode, during her job interview at a TV news operation in Minneapolis, Mary Richards had the nerve to stand up to the chauvinist news director Lou Grant, played wonderfully by Ed Asner.
Look, miss, would you try answering the questions as I ask them?
Yes, Mr. Grant, I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk. Tell you what. I'll try you out for a couple of weeks, see if it works out.
Oh.
If I don't like you, I'll fire you.
Right, right.
You don't like me? I'll fire you.
Yes, yes.
MTM Enterprises generated a string of smart, successful sitcoms after that, including The Bob Newhart Show. Then it changed the TV landscape again in the late 70s by taking the Lou Grant character from its Mary Tyler Moore sitcom and spinning him off into a drama series called Lou Grant. The concept there was that the content was about 70% drama, 30% comedy, but without a laugh track, just like life. It's a formula that has informed almost every quality TV drama ever since, from The Sopranos to Breaking Bad. Here's a scene from the first episode of Lou Grant. It's an intentional gender reversal mirror image of the start of The Mary Tyler Moore Show. This time, it's Lou Grant seeking a job, this time on a Los Angeles newspaper, and this time it's a woman publisher, played by Nancy Marchand, who's very clearly in charge of the job interview. She's petting a small dog as it sits on her desk, and Lou already is visibly uncomfortable.
You look like you're about to throw a punch.
It's a suit.
Well, we've had 3 men at the city desk in the last 8 months.
I told them.
One of them died in the men's room. One quit, and I fired the third.
Why'd you fire him?
I didn't like him. I didn't like the one who died in the men's room either. Oh, Barney. Hush, baby. No. No, calm now. Yes, you little dog. You like dogs?
Yeah, I like dogs. Big dogs.
Then came another massively influential MTM production, Hill Street Blues, which brought serialized storylines and sophisticated filming techniques to the TV cop drama. From the very start, the opening roll call scene held by Michael Conrad as Sergeant Phil Esterhaus, Hill Street was a study in barely controlled chaos. And most of the good TV dramas that followed, from St. Elsewhere to L.A. Law, tried hard to emulate and equal it.
All right, item 14. Still got a gang of juveniles on 119th Street hitting on old people, cashing Social Security checks.
So, how about let's give that situation a little extra effort? All right, item 15.
Item 15.
At this point in time, we got the same purse snatcher, Working Wolf from the projects on South. He's a male black, age approximately 30, 6 feet 6 inches tall, medium build. He is further described as wearing a long blonde wig, powder blue cocktail type dress, gathered in little tucks at the waist.
Ain't that true?
Item 16, gang homicides. We had two last night, so they're going to be reprisals.
Those shows, and others overseen by Tinker, changed the course of TV history and the level of TV quality. Terry Gross spoke with Grant Tinker in 1994 about his memoir, Tinker in Television. Their conversation began with the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and how that show was conceived with memories of the Dick Van Dyke Show, on which the actress co-starred as Laura Petrie, the wife of Van Dyke's Rob Petrie, still fresh in everyone's minds. Early on, the lead character in the Mary Tyler Moore Show was supposed to have been divorced, an idea Tinker says didn't fly.
Yeah, that was sort of silly, I thought, because CBS resisted that a lot. I mean, it literally said things like, people will think she's divorced from Rob Petrie. We solved that problem with them by agreeing, okay, she wouldn't be divorced. She will be coming off a failed affair. So they preferred a failed affair to divorce, strangely, I thought.
How did the network feel about a single working woman?
I didn't have any problem with that concept. They did have a lot of problems when we did the show, which came off very well, the pilot when we finally did it. They did research, as networks always do, and they found all kinds of things wrong, as research frequently does. They found Mary Richards was a loser. Rhoda Morgenstern was, I don't know whether they used the word ethnic or New York, but they didn't like her. And Phyllis Lindstrom, Cloris Leachman, was abrasive. All the things that made the show as it proceeded bothered them in terms of their research. But we got sort of famous for resisting network suggestions, and we were able to maintain what we had.
Now, Hill Street Blues, when you had the pilot episode for that, the pilot tested negative, and you even reprint some of the notes in your book.
Right.
So what was wrong with Hill Street Blues, according to the research?
Oh, the pandemonium in the cop house bothered them, which at least I remember as being part of what was entertaining about the show. The fact that Ferrillo, played by Daniel Trevanti, didn't seem to be in charge. The cops were kind of, losers also. They just thought everything that turned out to be strong about the show was weak. It's very similar to the Mary situation. And I'm not a big believer in slavishly following research. It's one of the things that's wrong with television is that if you throw the decision-making process to the research department, you're not making any instinctive, visceral judgments about programs, which are show business. And many shows that went on to become very successful would never have been seen if that had been the case. I think research is a tool, one of several, but should be used much more modestly than they frequently use it.
Why'd you leave MTM to return to NBC and take over the company?
Well, because the chairman of RCA, the parent company of NBC, asked me to, and he caught me at a moment when I thought I couldn't match the 11 years of MTM that I'd already had. I had fond memories of my prior two terms at NBC. I knew a lot of people there, and I was very unhappy as I watched the network decline. And so all of those things gave me this feeling of wanting to help save the company, which was really going down for the third time. And I went back, and with the help of some very good colleagues, we did manage to save it. In fact, we succeeded beyond our fondest hopes.
So when you got to NBC to head the company, what were the problems you perceived, and how did you try to fix them?
Well, morale was one. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just very sick of losing, and so we addressed that by having a bunch of company meetings, you know, in person and connected by satellite to all the other locations, just letting people blow off steam, ask questions, make complaints, and so on. And we began to, I think, get back a sort of a family feeling that I remembered at NBC in earlier days. And then we began, well, at first, by the way, the first couple of years, we didn't do much at all. We neatened it up and maybe cut some losses, but we didn't, our programs weren't that successful. And then we began to get successful. And as I say in the book, success begets more in television, because if you have a show like Cosby, you can put something behind it, and that show will almost automatically succeed because the audience flows into it. And as we got what we call building blocks like that, we did build other shows, and pretty soon we had a very successful network and a quality one, because we had recruited mostly quality producers.
You met Mary Tyler Moore, to whom you were married for about 11 years, through the Dick Van Dyke Show.
18 years.
18 years, excuse me.
Harry,
thank you. It, you were with the company, I guess, for 11 years.
Right.
Okay. So how did you meet her?
I met her when we did the pilot of the Van Dyke Show. Laura Petrie had, you know, nobody had really thought too much about that because, you know, the star was going to be Rob Petrie. And Mary was cast as Laura Petrie, just almost by a lucky accident. Danny Thomas had once read her to play his daughter, and she didn't get the part because Danny said no one would believe she's my daughter with a nose like that, hers being quite different from his. And when Sheldon and Carl were looking for and not finding Laura Petrie, Danny happened into the office one day and said, "What about that girl with the three names?" And so they called Mary in, and the result was her being cast as Laura Petrie, which that she did, so, I think, so much better and so much more completely and so much more comedically than they had hoped, that it became a more balanced show between office and home. And she really made it. Obviously, I'm a suspect source to make this comment, but I think she made a huge contribution to that show.
Grant Tinker speaking to Terry Gross in 1994. The television executive and MTM production studio head died last month at age 90.